Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Gossiping the Gospel with Mike and Pam Matthews. We're delighted that you're joining us this morning, and we have a special message starting part one, actually, of a multi-week series called What Time Is It? And Pam's with me this morning, and we're going to talk a little bit about what does it mean to gossip the gospel, but then how does time play a part in that? Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for the day that we're living in. It's your day. Every day is your day. And Lord, you are shaking the heavens, the earth, everything above it, to see that which would remain, and we thank you for that. We thank you that we can use your scripture this morning and describe what's happening in some parts. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that your people are edified as you're glorified through your word. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, just delighted today to be with you and talk a little bit about what time it is. And we're going to use a lot of references out of a book called What in Heaven and Hell is Happening, a modern-day spiritual timeline to show that heaven and hell are literally clashing before our very eyes. And that's okay, because that's what God's word said would take place. So as we begin, I want to share with you a couple things. You know, we know that times are difficult, but we also know that's why God said in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 through 19, that in the last days he'll pour out a spirit upon all flesh. Old men will dream dreams, young men will have visions, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your handmaids will prophesy, and there'll be signs and wonders in the heaven. So just as much as we know that things are tumultuous, we know that God still speaks and God wants his people to hear. And so as we take a look at Matthew 16:3 says this, "Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the sign of the times." And it was Jesus' sort of mocking of religious people that they can certainly tell what's happening on the earth to some degree, but they don't know how to interpret the sign of the time or the spiritual things. And so as we've watched things unfold in the last few weeks, maybe even the last few years, many of the natural disasters, many of the decisions by the court, we're not alarmed by that because God's word said it would definitely happen. But the question is, what time is it? So we can look out on social media like everyone else. We can listen to different sermons, and there's a million different opinions of what's happening. But God's looking down, not surprised, not shocked, but wondering who's really listening, who has an ear to hear what he's speaking to the churches. And we believe that this is a day that you should be excited about, that we can take a look and find out what's happening. But what are some of the evidences that would give us an understanding of the sign of the times? For instance, just recently, Perry Stone was on a show, I believe, and he was talking about being in the fifth, maybe onto the sixth seal of the book of Revelation. And I'm not saying he's right or wrong, because I maybe don't know. But I do look at what Scripture says overall and try and connect it with what's happening in our day and age. And therefore, we can have scriptural evidence, spiritual evidence, that God is up to something. So for instance, when God says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 through 19, that he will pour his spirit upon all flesh, and people will dream and have visions and prophesy more, I don't think he was joking. I think he was telling the truth. So starting in the year 2007-8 timeframe, millions of non-Christian religious people in the Middle East started coming to Jesus through dreams that night. And it's all documented. You can go out and search on it. Middle East dreams. People in India having dreams. People who believed one religion suddenly changed overnight, so that now Christianity is estimated between 2.9 billion and 3.2 billion people on the earth, the largest people group of any kind. And that's all to the glory of God, because his word is true. And so there's a sign. People are having dreams and visions to prove that we are in that day when he's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. And we thank him for that. And then another evidence is signs and wonders in the heaven. So you think of people talking about the four blood moons and maybe making too much of it on one hand, but maybe ignoring it on the other hand. But truly, they're a sign in the heaven. And on June 29th of this year, just a few days ago, two planets crossed each other to almost form what appeared like the Star of Bethlehem. It was in the sky. It hadn't happened in 2,000 years, and now all of a sudden, on June 29th of 2015, it happened. I say, thank you, Lord, For we're looking up, for our redemption is coming from above, and we're starting to see signs in the heavens, just like your word says. That's a good evidence that we're at least in some of the last days. But from an earthly perspective, what if we took a look at who would be the person who has the least to gain that's not God himself, that would make a statement because he has no ministry to protect or ministry to have a following with, and one time he may have, but he's a pretty pure person under most people's perception, and that's Billy Graham. Billy Graham, approximately 8 years ago, may have been even a little longer, but in that time frame, made a statement. He said, there's nothing left in Scripture that needs to be fulfilled for Jesus to return. He's like Father Time to us. He's like the father of the spiritual realm on earth for us. He has nothing to, why would he make that up? And so it's like, wow, there's a nice evidence. You know, I can listen to all the prophetic people, all the apostles, all the people who are maybe prophet or not. They said, no, there's a good balance there to say we are in that day that nothing more needs to be fulfilled. And so if we take a closer look, though, in Scripture is documented 35 biblical evidences of what will happen before Christ returns. And if you're looking at some of the slides that we presented here, they're found in Matthew 24, Daniel chapter 11 and 12, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Romans chapter 1, and you can see what those verses are. But they're all documented in a book called What in Heaven and Hell is Happening. Now, if you go and get the book, it's free. If you go to focusonheaven.com and you look, I believe it's on page 34, 35, it shows a graph depicting past events, occurring events, and future events to help people not escape the reality of what time we're living in. You know, because a lot of people will talk about past events, and they'll talk about future events, but they don't want to talk about current events from an understanding of where we're at. They'd rather worry about those and start trying to fight those instead of understanding it's a fulfillment of Scripture. So every time something to some people that appears negative occurs, I sometimes rejoice and say, praise be to God, it's another fulfillment of Scripture. And if you don't understand what Scripture says about these 35 very clear pieces of evidence, such as the love of many will wax cold, hatred will abound, a rebellious spirit will take over, people will begin to love creatures more than the Creator. And that doesn't mean, so you think about pets even, dogs, cats, people will love a creature more than the Creator. It's in Romans chapter 1, and they're all documented in this book, and we're not trying to sell you a book, because you can get it for free on focusonheaven.com, or you can go buy it from amazon.com. And so, again, it's important that we understand are the sign of the times. Where are we really at with things? And I'm going to ask Pam to comment a little bit and maybe ask a question for the audience.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking, and I'm thinking, you know, as people in a whole, if it's so laid out so clear in the Bible, then why do we have such a hard time with when things start happening? You know, we seem to always want to complain or fight against, you know, these things that have taken place, you know, whether it's the Supreme Court's decision or, you know, whatever. But why do we have such a problem with it when it's so laid out in the Bible?
You know, Pam, that's a good question. And I think a lot of it has to do with mixed emotions, preferences, passions of humanity, that we want our denomination or church to prevail. We want America to be pure. And people oftentimes will confuse that with God's foregone conclusion. And so I can't get in God's way. In fact, Pam, as you mentioned that, I recall a couple years ago, I was really pleading with God for something and making sure, because I wanted something to be cleaned up that wasn't cleaned up. And one night, God gave me a word of rebuke. He said, Mike, you know, I'm starting to sense that you would rather have me change my Scripture so that your passion can come to be reality. Now, my passion wasn't evil. My passion wasn't trying to persuade God in the wrong way. It was interceding for people. It was interceding for a church. It was interceding for that which was gone awry. And I said to God very humbly, as he humbled me, and said, Lord, forgive me for getting in your way. You're on a path to to come back to save humanity, and you've already saved them, but not everybody's received their salvation yet, let me not get in your way as I'm trying to make America lily white, or I'm trying to make something happen that can't happen. Lord, forgive me. So, Pam, I think yours and many people's questions are tied to this very essence, that as we saw and witnessed so many things happen in the last few years, I stand back and watch, and I can't help but to think, I wonder what God sees. Does he see a lot of Mike Matthews out there? A lot of Mike Matthews who are trying to perfect their church? Or a lot of Mike Matthews who are trying to save America when it's only a country, not a living soul? And it made me realize, I think there's so much confusion today around what are we really after? But the Bible is clear. Out of the overflow of my heart, my mouth will speak. And so in the very last 2 weeks, so many people, whether they did it on via mouth on a radio or a... And wow, that's interesting. I think I haven't heard a lot of people care if I come back or not. I heard a lot of people keep saying that America needs to repent. I heard a lot of people say the church needs to repent. I didn't hear many people say, come Lord soon, now. That's our ultimate goal, is to look up. Our whole goal, this whole path that we're on, is to watch Christ come back, to watch the redemption that we don't suffer in this world anymore. But in that process, we still pray that everyone can be saved that is willing to acknowledge that Jesus Christ died upon the cross for their sins. And I don't know what to tell people who expose themselves that, you know what, I think they're sort of hoping that Jesus doesn't return so that America can be a better place or so that their church can look a little bit better, sound a little bit better. And I'm not sure that's the right answer. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. We all ought to look. I ought to expect the best for myself, my family, the church I attend, and the country I live in, but not in front of God himself. God's word has to come to pass. God's word has to come true. And if a man such as Billy Graham would say, there's nothing left to be fulfilled, Mike, you better be careful that you're not getting in God's way. You better be very mindful that you need to be looking up because your Redeemer is coming from above, not in the issues of the day. What a day. And so, Pam, I hope that helps. I don't know if you have another question you wanted to ask.
No, not right now.
All right. Okay. So let's continue on in just closing out this first part. Again, we're trying to build an awareness for you, and then we'll get more into Scripture each week that proceeds. But let me just give you one example. Jude chapter 1, verse 18 through 21 says this. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. That's it. We are waiting on this pathway for Jesus Christ to bring us to eternal life. And in between that, we will have scoffers who follow their own ungodly desires, their own ungodly passions and laws and instincts. It's right there in Scripture. But they do it because they do not have the Spirit. But those of us who have the Spirit, we are to build ourselves up in our most holy faith in praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping ourselves in God's love as we wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring us to eternal life. That's the path. And what a thought to think that we are to look to God. We are to wonder when his word is not making it up. When he says, he wonders if when he returns, will he find any faith on the earth? So what has God been seeing? Does God see we are more in love with him than the church? I hope so. Does God see we are more in love with America than human beings or him? I hope not. You see, Jesus didn't die for America. He died for Australians, Americans, Ethiopians, Sudanese, Australians, all humanity he died for. And oftentimes, though, we want to win as a country. Yes, God has favored us. Yes, God has blessed America in many ways. But he didn't die for America as a country. America is not a living soul. Americans are, Australians are, Ethiopians, Nigerians, Tanzanians, who are part of America now. He loves humanity. And so we have to be careful that we're not more loyal to something that we pledge something to in lieu or above God himself. Question three, does God see we are avoiding come back? And we are desirous that he not come back. We have to be careful. I want him to come back, but I also want him, as his word says, that he's not slack in his promise towards mankind. He is not willing that any should perish. So I'm on board with him with that. But I'm also on board, come Lord, soon. And four, do we want Jesus to return, or do we want our America back or our church back? I don't know. I've seen a lot of hearts be exposed over the last few weeks. They want America back. They want their church back. But I haven't heard a lot of, I want Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby anybody will ever be saved. There's something about that name, Jesus. Jesus. There's something about that name. Would we want Jesus more than any of these other things? I don't know. I can only speak for Pam and myself. We believe we do. And we believe there's a price to pay for that, though. So if we look at Luke chapter 21, verse 25 through 26, it says, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the earth, the nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint with from terror, apprehension of what is coming on the earth, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. That's Luke chapter 21, verse 25 and 26. It's a foregone conclusion. Everything's shaking. We're delighted in that. Because ultimately, God wants to know where we stand. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 to 27, it follows up. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, one more time will I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Now this phrase, once more, indicates the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that that which cannot be shaken may remain. Amen. You know what? I think the White House can be shaken. It's a temporal building. That which is can be removed will be shaken. So that which cannot be shaken may remain. Faith, hope, and love. Are we more focused on those than we are about a building or an America that we built in our mind? Then we continue on. Luke chapter 18, verse 7 through 8 says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Now, I read this in context, though, keep in mind, of everything I just read about. There's going to be a shaking. It's already in the works. And it says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Question mark. I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, I need to say something in this passage here because it's important. Jesus is saying, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith on the earth? He doesn't ask, will he find grace on the earth? He doesn't ask if he'll find churches on the earth. He doesn't ask if he'll find missionaries or missions or my ministry or any books I've written. He asks, will he find any faith on the earth? But he also says prior to his coming back, he will bring justice in quickly. So we all have to be careful because if we want the world judged, first he judges his own. He brings justice to his own. And I wonder what he's saying as he looks at us. What is that justice? Because he brings it quickly. That's a question to ponder that we'll bring up in the next few sessions. And look up as you're shaken up and taken up. 26. People will faint. Oops, I already read that passage there. Sorry about that. And so I want to close with a prayer, but also with a thought that watch what comes to your mouth and measure it. To see if it aligns with Scripture, to see if it aligns with who you love the most, and see if it aligns with the sign of the times that we're in, because we are challenged over and over in Revelation 1 through 3, specifically chapter 2 and 3, to have an ear to hear what he's speaking at this hour. What are you hearing? What's being put in your heart, and therefore what's being portrayed out of your heart? And we enjoyed giving this first part series, but again, it's just an overview of what time are we really in? Am I doing anything with the dreams that he's giving us? Millions of Middle East religious people have done something with their dream. They've converted their religion. They've acted upon the dreams that God said he would pour out in the last days. That's pretty inspiring in my book. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lovely time in your word. We thank you for the opportunity to talk about your return, to mention you are coming back. You're not slack in your promise towards mankind, but you're also not willing that any should perish. Let us find the balance of never wanting you to come back so we can do what you told us to do and occupy till you come. But let us also, Lord, come soon. This earth isn't that great. The way we've structured things isn't that wonderful, but you are. Lord, we want to go to that place where there's no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying. Lord, we want to go there because you're there. May our hearts be right with you. Lord, I pray for anyone on this message or listening audio live or recording that if they don't know you, they accept Jesus. They simply say, I was born a sinner, and upon the promise of God's word, I accept him as my Savior. He died on the cross for my sins. As a sinner, they're now forgiven. My sins are forgiven, and I can have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Lord, thank you for making the gospel simple, and forgive us as humans for making it so complex. Lord, let us keep it simple. Let us keep it truthful. And Lord, you'll be honored in that. Lord, again, we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to thank you, and part two will be coming 1 week from today. 1 week from today, part two, in What Time Is It? May God richly bless you.